listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
Sunday night, we're starting with, as Joni said, and I'm going to say, wow, that Saints defense is great. And if it is, when Breeze comes back, how good are they? What do you think?
I think you're right. I think they held Zeke Elliott to a maximum run of 6 yards. Think about this. Zeke is the second best running back in the league, RJ, and he was not able to get a 7-yard carry in the game. That Saints defense came up big, stopping the run.
Now, the same fellow is going to say, okay, but Dak, I know enough to know you can't stop both the run and the pass, so you have to give up something. Can the other team take advantage? Didn't seem like Dak did. How much do we reevaluate the sense that Dak had taken a step? I think that it's important to set the scene. Coming into this season, it was Dak's a good game manager. Dak is also relying upon the play action. He's also a good team guy. He's a leader. He's got character. But he's not a super elite quarterback. That was the assumption 6 months ago. Preseason, a lot of talk about the contract. Should he take 30? 30 is an effrontery. I'm offended. $30 million a year, no way. I want 40. 30 and 40, both a lot, but the difference is one is the 10th, 8th best quarterback in the league, maybe the 30, and the other is maybe in competition with a Mahomes. What did we learn about Dak? And it's just one game, but that's how we learn, one game at a time. Fez.
Yeah, well, I think Dak was missing his number two wide receiver, Gallup. He only had Cooper
Gallup
to go to.
I wonder, you know, Jonas, if we took a poll right now,
a Gallup-esque poll,
exactly. How many of our listeners were very familiar with Gallup, let's say, a month ago?
I would say probably 1%.
Now, how's your history with Gallup, Fez?
Yeah, I didn't know who he was last year.
But now he's the reason.
Well, he's been like their number one wide receiver.
Okay, so he's the reason.
He's part of the
How'd they do okay last year without him?
When Cooper came aboard, they were fine, yeah.
But Cooper's gotten worse?
And Witten's back. He's not making a difference?
Witten was their leading receiver last night.
We're getting off the subject. So what did you see with Dak? And if you don't have anything, that's fine. I mean, you can say, hey, it was one game, didn't look great.
He didn't look comfortable in a hostile road environment. This was his first hostile environment of the year.
Okay. And I do agree with this. Your ability to perform is contingent at the NFL level, at professional sports level, with things that we don't fully understand, but sometimes we don't talk about enough. Barkley talks about backups or role players in the NBA. As we call them in Vegas, Chuck likes to talk about, hey, that Van Vliet, he can do okay at home. You put him on the road and say, you know, make a difference. It's tougher. So what you're saying is this is another example of Dak not being top tier. Because when Brady goes on the road, and we'll talk about Brady, he struggled a little bit. In general, Brady on the road, you don't worry about Brady. Mahomes, he didn't play perfectly, but you don't worry about Mahomes. Dak, you're saying hostile environment, downgrade.
Yes.
Which takes him out of that first tier.
Yes.
So isn't it interesting? And this is what we see literally week after week after week. And here's what it is. You have your assumptions entering the year. How did you gain those? Through literally thousands of hours of TV / internet / consuming sports media, sports games. And you get these ideas. Then there's one game, a second game. And all of a sudden it's like shows that don't have gambling as a foundation, they got to say, is Dak now amongst the best? Or if someone has some bad games, should he be cut? Should Cousins even be playing? Well, some of that is the ramping up the drama, because these shows are about telling stories, about narratives. And some of it is just human bias, which is we overemphasize as humans what we saw most recently. And I think the best way to beat the NFL is over or underreact or kind of fade those overreactions. So really, it sounds like with Dak, we're pretty much where we were to start this, or we're pretty much where we were at the end of last season when we didn't have the whole offseason to pontificate on and ponder how great Dak really has become. He's pretty much what? Where's he at on your quarterback rank?
10th.
10th. He's pretty much, where was he entering the year?
12th.
So you have upgraded him. Now, did you do a readjustment after Sunday night?
I did not readjust.
So might be moving towards 12. Who's 11?
Stafford.
Oh, well, hey, Stafford was hurt and he played all right.
Yes.
Either way, though, guys, no team is ever as bad as they seem at their worst. They're never as good as they seem at their best. And kind of having that moderation in these assessments, you know, in football, the ball is not round, right? It bounces funny sometimes. And when you score 7 points at a time, it only takes one or two. Speaking of that Lions game, there was a fumble at the 1 foot yard or 1 foot line, right? And then it was picked up and went the other way. Kansas City, 14 point swing, right?
Exactly right.
Then you think Mahomes completed or converted a fourth in like 8 or 10 that would have probably been the game if he didn't. And they win by a handful of points, by 4. So one play is a 14 point swing. The other play is a 7 point swing. So there's 21 points decided net on two plays. It only takes that about twice a season to take a 10-6 team to 8-8, 8-8 to 10-6. So yes, ultimately it's about winning. But winning has a lot of luck game by game.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Now, in general, how a quarterback does his first two games, does that if you project out over a career, I personally think he does worse. Meaning, you take the first two games. Now, what changes over time? You get physically stronger. You know, if you're very young, where you're becoming a man fully, you become smarter. You can read defenses. Now, what do you lose? Well, the opponents start to figure you out. With a young quarterback, the question is, can they do anything right? With an older quarterback, once the defense can figure out what you can do right, is there anything you can't do right? Right? And if that ends up being, you look at Tom Brady, what can't he do in his prime? Nothing.
He can't run.
Well, but that's not necessary for a quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a good qualification. What's necessary for a quarterback? And it's to throw this type of ball, quick, throw slow. You see with Mayfield, they're looking before this weekend. It was like when he throws quick, he's great. When it's more than 2.5 seconds, okay, what's the defense going to do? They're not going to blitz you. They're going to start dropping a ton. I mean, this is basic, rudimentary stuff. But if someone's really good making quick decisions, don't let them make quick decisions. You can't get there fast enough. So don't rush three. Now what do you do? And how many times have we seen? So what we're saying is that Daniel Jones, the one shining example of who might have a long-term future as a top half of the league quarterback, we're saying if he plays as well as a passer the rest of his career as he did the first 2 weeks, he'd be smack dab average. Mm-hmm. Now, these are only two games. So that's decent. And if I'm a Giants fan, I'm excited. But I'm still not thinking, I'm not a, you know, the Hall of Fame Taylor can wait.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
To me, we're all very fragile. Even it doesn't matter how much muscle you have on you. It helps, but we're all fragile. And if someone's a professional level athlete and his intention is to hurt, it's not to hit hard, because that hurting can come from that. But there's a reason in the game. And to me, I can only speak for myself. All views expressed, well, in this case, it's just me, but Burfict really seemed to have a level of animosity, or to me, I'm not sure if it was just animosity towards other humans, or for him, this was the way to be a millionaire. Because Shannon Sharp said this, I thought, really well on today's show. He said, yeah, he's been fined $2 million, I think it's been. He goes, well, how much money has he made? Like it was like 20 or 30. It's like, how much of that would he? Now, he didn't ask this question, but this was the implication. How much would he have made if he wasn't this type of player? Now, you might say he could have made more, or maybe he wouldn't be in the league. You know how in hockey there's certain guys that they're there to be the tough guy? NFL doesn't really have that as much, but you got to wonder if I don't think he'd be with the Raiders. Meaning, once the Bengals got rid of him, do you really think if this guy wasn't such a tough guy, you kind of buy in toughness with him? And to be candid, and I got nothing against Gruden. I've probably been more positive than most about Gruden this time around. I think he has to be held complicit. If you bring in a guy who is a known cheap shot artist, and that word cheap shot artist sounds too innocent, and it's not really innocent, but it sounds too innocent. So he's trying to maim people. What else could you be doing? I mean, what he did against Big Ben, and again, I'm a Steelers fan. I swear to God, in every other game I've ever watched of the Steelers in the last 20 years, there hasn't been one moment I thought that player is really trying to hurt someone. Burfict, I thought about it every game. Like, you couldn't watch a game with him against Pittsburgh and think, you know, this guy's not trying to end careers. And I get it. The players' union has to help everybody, protect everybody. I get it. But even someone like Sharp, who is about as player friendly as you can get, they said, maybe a year's not enough. He goes, I agree. So when you have someone like Sharp saying that, who's a player guy, because you know something? He's not hurting coaches. They won't let Burfict near the owners. Imagine if to the Rooneys, they said, you know, Burfict wants to have a private meeting with you. You know, I'll make sure no one has any weapons. Yeah, okay. You think the Rooneys are going to that meeting?
No.
Yeah, he's hurting other players. And to me, I get why he's doing it. If he feels like it's the only way to make money, it's just, why would the league put up with it? I don't understand. And I guess they're starting not to.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.